We were making just enough to cover our expenses. And I didn't calculate having some reserve funds in there just to cover, you know, 3 months of principal, interest, taxes, insurance, kind of your basic needs. And if there was any blip where a tenant didn't pay. So that was a huge lesson learned. And I think any listener that's looking to do their first deal is, you know, make sure that you have additional capital available if something goes wrong, something breaks in the first couple of months.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today, I've got Danny Randazzo. Danny, how are you doing?
I am doing well, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Did I say your last name right? I asked you before, and now I feel like I just mispronounced
it. You got it. You got it correct. It's Randazzo.
Randazzo. All right. Awesome. Well, a little bit about Danny. Danny and his wife sold everything they owned in summer of 2016, relocated to Charleston, South Carolina, beautiful area. I love that area, to build their real estate portfolio. Randazzo Capital made its first investment purchase in the winter of 2016, buying two commercial buildings for $1 million. Since then, you guys have utilized strong investor and lender relationships to purchase another $1 million in commercial buildings, short sale renovation project, a 4-unit residential rental, 2-unit residential rental, and 2 beachfront foreclosures. So looks like right now you control over $7.5 million in commercial and residential real estate. And I know you've done some speaking. I listened to you at a conference in Denver, the best ever conference in Denver, doing that. And you also do some volunteering and definitely other stuff. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit kind of more about your background and what you got going on today?
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. So like you said, kind of sold everything off in 2016, moved from the Bay Area across the country to Charleston. And really, we selected that market for the good economic indicators there. My wife was originally from the area, so we had a network of individuals that we could tap into to get us going in our real estate portfolio and building that out faster than going into a new market and not really knowing anyone at all. So those couple of factors, we decided on Charleston, we moved there, and we really liked the Charleston market and the economic indicators as far as job growth, population growth, and finding good opportunities. So we decided, instead of diversifying in terms of markets and going after one asset class, we decided to focus on buying in one market, but diversifying our asset classes for investment. So like you said, commercial, we've got some residential, some multifamily, buying foreclosures, getting off-market deals, and really focused on doing that in Charleston because we knew it well, and it allowed us to grow quickly and in a very risk-averse format with a ton of potential in cash flow and appreciation upside, but really buying for cash flow, doing our value add, and then forcing that appreciation.
Cool. So you said you sold everything. You mentioned the Bay Area. What was going on in the Bay Area? Why did you sell everything and move? Like, what made you think, hey, let's just up and go out complete opposite side of the country and do this?
Well, you know, thinking about the show, you know, Pillars of Wealth, and going back to some of the previous guests that you've had on, and I'm sure the listeners, you know, it's really about having control of your time and creating pillars that are somewhat indestructible, or pillars that you can control with your own inputs to either grow them or change them. And so in the Bay Area, there were limited opportunities for us to get involved in real estate investing to create a pillar of wealth in terms of cash flow and value creation that we could control. The California market, specifically in the Bay Area, I'm sure there's opportunities out there that people are buying today, but it's typically lower cap rates and less returns. Without knowing too much, we decided the cost of living was much more affordable in Charleston than compared to the Bay Area, and the real estate investment opportunities would be greater for us and our needs. So we were able to move there and immediately start buying commercial investment properties that produced excellent cash flow, had value add opportunities, and really built a strong foundation to our pillar of real estate portfolio. And, you know, we're just excited to continue that growth and look for more opportunities. And that was the decision. It was to create that portfolio and have that pillar of wealth to build off of and allow it to kind of grow like a beautiful oak tree, a strong foundation, and then it just branches out into more and more opportunities.
Oh, cool, cool. What did you do in the Bay Area?
My background is in financial consulting. So okay. I still work a consulting job and kind of travel around the country, help clients out on their financial performance. That paired very well in running the numbers and knowing how to put deals together, what types of returns to look for with investors. So that background certainly helped jumpstart my ability to get investing in real estate.
What's the difference between let's just call it like a modest San Francisco house, not oceanfront, compared to a modest Charleston house, not oceanfront?
It really depends on the neighborhoods, but I'll just say probably in California, you're looking at a minimum $500,000, depending on where you're at in the Bay Area. And then, you know, in Charleston, you could probably find something for $250,000, $300,000, just very generic. I'm sure you can find more reasonably or lower cost in California, or, you know, a couple $1 million homes in Charleston. So
yeah. Well, there's some really nice properties in Charleston area. I know that for sure. There's some old, there's definitely some old money that, you know, was in Charleston with the plantations and stuff like that. So
absolutely. And we're even seeing a bit of turnover with some newer folks moving into the area and really starting to invest there. And it's kind of changed the market in a good way, where before it was kind of this old money and an old boys club, if you will. And we're getting a lot of transplant kind of people like me and others from around the country that have moved to Charleston for the opportunity to invest. And it's just been a positive, positive market so far for us over the last couple of years.
Great. That's awesome. Well, let's kind of dive in a little bit more into your business and kind of where you're going. And so what, you guys are doing the commercial. Is there specific commercial type properties you look for? What's kind of your criteria? What are you looking for and why?
Yeah, what we look for is something that has a very hard time of being disrupted by technology. So in the next 10 years, what are types of properties that people are going to continue to go to in terms of foot traffic, where businesses can generate their income and then pay you rent? So office space is one of the areas in Charleston specifically that it is doing well. Can office be interrupted by technology? Potentially. There's people who can work remotely or just anywhere where there's a Wi-Fi hotspot. So that has a little bit, and we do have some property in that office space. So it's one area where we're not actively seeking more office investment, but we're seeking true commercial space. So what we like, what is not likely to get disrupted, are some of those retail strip centers that are probably 8 to 12 units in size, and they are located on a busy road or in a good neighborhood where people live in the community and go there to shop or get basic services that the internet can't provide you. So, you know, your lunch deli or like a Subway. So any kind of quick or convenient food option, you know, Chinese food or Thai food that you can order, like the internet can't give you Thai food at your doorstep without some sort of close by location to cook it in.
Right.
Dry cleaning services as well. Other little, you know, mom and pop stores, maybe it has a small fitness center or a medical kind of counseling center or different community needs. And that's something that we look for in the commercial space. In addition to kind of that true commercial, we also look for apartment communities, 100 units or larger, built 1970s or earlier, 1970s or newer, I should say, that's the right word. And then mobile home parks as well. So the internet can't really provide a place for someone to live. So those types of investments are really what we're looking at. And one thing that's really kind of changed in our business as we are today, we've really been looking hard in the Charleston market to find those commercial opportunities, the mobile home parks or the apartments. And what we're seeing is the market is becoming quite a seller's market, and they're asking premiums for it with very little value add potential to the project. So what we've started to do and what we're pursuing actively is really casting a larger net across Southeast US. So we've got North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and we're looking for opportunities there that are maybe a little bit more inland from the coast and have value add potential with excellent monthly cash flows.
Cool. So value add with cash flow is kind of your model.
Yeah, absolutely. We really look for properties that would cash flow on day one or very quickly thereafter with a specific value add opportunity. So maybe we're buying a commercial property that has half vacancies because the vacant units need to be upfitted or just, kind of upgraded with what they have inside, and then you fill that space with the tenant, and that's kind of your value add opportunity, or your true apartment value add opportunity where you can increase or upgrade the units and get a rent for a premium.
Got some kids in my background with the nanny. As you can hear, they're howling for wolves, it sounds like, right now. So sorry to my listeners if you're hearing that.
Howling for pillars of wealth, right?
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah. So what's kind of a big mistake that you've made, and how did you learn and grow from it?
You know, one of the first purchases that I made was that $1 million commercial purchase. And, you know, like I said, my background's in finance and corporate consulting, and you know, I knew the numbers extremely well to buy the property, what I needed to put down. And one of the mistakes that I made was not having enough money in reserves if my rents didn't come in time. So for the first like month or two, you know, my bank account balance was pretty low, and we were making just enough to cover our expenses. And I didn't calculate having some reserve funds in there just to cover, you know, 3 months of principal, interest, taxes, insurance, kind of your basic needs. And if there was any blip where a tenant didn't pay. So that was a huge lesson learned. And I think any listener that's looking to do their first deal is, you know, make sure that you have additional capital available if something goes wrong, if something breaks in the first couple of months before you've had an opportunity to build up any cash reserves. You need to have that. Otherwise, you're going into your pocket, or you're having an extremely difficult conversation with an investor that would probably challenge your integrity. Luckily, we didn't have to do anything like that. And the deal worked itself out without having any capital contribution. But I would say that's a huge lesson learned, and something you don't hear about as much as, you know, kind of buy it, get your investors, and then roll forward.
Yeah. I think that's a big mistake. I see it in some people's underwriting too. And they're, you know, not really thinking about reserves and having that up front. What do you put down for reserves? Do you use a percentage? What do you use now?
You know, I think it really depends on what your strategy. So if you're doing significant CapEx expense, you know, I would have a really good budget, and then I would probably add 20% to that CapEx budget for reserves. Yep. And then I would also have probably about 6 months of your operating expenses in reserves in addition to that heavy CapEx budget. So operating expense reserves that I would plan for, again, your mortgage payment, your principal and interest mortgage payment, your taxes, your insurance, whether these are paid monthly or annually, I would still budget for a monthly cost for your insurance and your taxes, and then any sort of utility cost. I would estimate those and make sure I have 6 months to pay my water bill, my electrical bill, anything that you need to run that property, planning that zero tenants pay you, because you're going to need to keep that property up and in good condition, and then, you know, collect your rent.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that obviously the more value add that you do, the more disruption you do to that property, the more you should be, you know, 6 months is good. But if you're really doing something major and heavy and you're going to be removing all the tenants, maybe even 10 months, maybe even a year. So yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you telling us that, because I don't think, like you said, people don't mention it enough that reserves are that's gonna potentially make or break your investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even if you're buying a small, you know, 2 or 4 unit apartment building, it's still pivotal. You know, there could be a hiccup with the tenants paying their rent check in the first month, and maybe they don't send it to you, or they pay the previous owner, and you know, you need to pay those bills. And if you have zero in your bank account, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Yep. Yeah. I can remember when I was fairly new to the game, I rented to a Section 8 tenant, and the Section 8 had some glitch in their system, and I didn't get a rent check for 6 months. You know, luckily I had the reserve account sitting out there to be able to pay for that, but I didn't get, yeah, it was 6 months worth of no rent. I've heard plenty of people, you know, they buy a property, everything's fine, and all of a sudden 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month into it, the furnace breaks down, or the, you know, the roof needs to be replaced, or who knows what. So
right, something crazy happens, you just need to make sure you've got your funds in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So what, someone who's trying to take it to your level where you're at and continue to grow, give us some tips. What does it take to get there, get to that level?
I think it takes a passion. There's really got to be a burning desire in you to succeed or accomplish the goals that you set for you and your family. And without that passion, I think people get kind of the shiny object syndrome, where real estate investing is great. I can make, you know, $100,000 on this flip because I saw it in a show, or my buddy owns an apartment building and makes all this cash flow each month. It's easy and I can do it. Well, guess what? It's going to be very challenging to find a good opportunity. You kind of need to look at 100 properties to make offers on 10 to buy one, roughly. And if you don't have the passion,
and not only are you going to need to, you should look at 100. Right.
Exactly. You should be finding excellent deals, not just good ones, but excellent ones. Raise that bar, be passionate about it. And you know, you need to be doing a lot of work out there. It's not something that's a get rich quick scheme, or even a build pillars of wealth quickly scheme. It's really taking your time, one piece at a time, one deal at a time, one asset class at a time, and learning it and excelling and being passionate about that, knowing your numbers, working with investors. So I would say have a passion to succeed and you'll do well. There's going to be some hiccups along the way, right? You might not have reserves in your bank accounts. Or you may have a scenario where a tenant doesn't pay, or there is a glitch in the rent collection system and you don't get a check for a little while. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be bumps along the road. But there's so many great resources out there. Shows like yours, shows like, you know, Joe Fairless and the Best Ever, or his conference, Bigger Pockets, places you can go to get help in almost any bump that's going to come up in the business, and having that passion to just learn, and it's going to drive you and get you through it. So if I had to give one tip, be passionate.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor. Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate, talk to him, learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. So when you bring in investors, tell us, You know, how do you find investors? This is a two-part question. So how do you find investors? And then what are you doing to properly deal with your investors and communicate with them?
So finding investors, I started out just going to friends and family and people within my network that knew me and knew my character, because you're asking a lot to take someone else's money and put it to work. And it's a lot of trust and validation of you as an individual, first and foremost. So having that trust with my friends and family is where I started. And since that point in time, building a nice track record of deals and opportunities, building relationships with other people that you meet along the way, has brought investors to me where they've heard about me either on a show or know about me in the community and know that I've worked with this broker and they've had a good experience, and they kind of say, hey, what are you doing? And then you have conversations with them. So finding them, start with your network, and then just talk to people about what you've got going on, and you'll naturally find interest and fits. And having a track record, whether it's one deal or 10, having some sort of track record that says, hey, I've done this before, I know what I'm doing, here's how we can be successful together as partners, is a great way to approach it. And the second piece of the question was, how do you communicate with your investors? And it's really on a deal by deal basis. So some deals you may do a monthly report out with some sort of quarterly financial distribution or semi-annual distribution. But the cadence that I've found works best with my investors and the deals that we've done is we do some sort of monthly report out in communication. And it can be as simple as a couple of quick bullet points in an email about the key takeaways from that property and the performance of the property, as well as updated financial figures for that property. So how much did we collect in income? What were our expenses for the month? You know, what was our debt service pay down? And how much cash flow did we generate at the end of each month? And we can kind of see it tracked in a nice clean spreadsheet. And it's not a significant amount of work, but it's absolutely crucial to make sure that your investors are on board. And they may say, hey, Danny or Todd, you know, I don't want that email. Just give me an email every quarter and that's going to be perfect for me. So you kind of adjust, but I typically start with monthly communication.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very critical. Anybody who's going to be taking on investors or wanting to take on investors, having that organization to be able to communicate with them on a monthly basis and more depending on what's going on. I know when we're doing a heavy value add, I might be communicating more than every month, especially when something weird, you know, happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a scenario last night. I needed to talk to a couple investors about some water issue and doing some landscaping work. You know, we're going to invest in the property. We're going to clean it up a little bit. And, you know, just to inform them, hey, here's what's coming up. Here's what we really need to do. And, you know, I want to make sure that we have your support, but ultimately it has to be done. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's an easy conversation. It's, you know, 20 minutes on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had a car that crashed through one of my buildings the other day. So I had to, you know, send an email to the investors saying, hey, this is what happened. You know, car, some guy fell asleep and
oh my gosh,
parked his car in the bedroom of one of the units. And
everyone was okay.
Everyone miraculously was just fine. This guy he was halfway into the building.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody got hurt. Brick building too.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. Wow. Amazing. And he hit the electrical meters. Yeah. Nobody got hurt.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a freak thing, but yeah, you being prepared and be able to communicate with investors, definitely a good point for sure. Take us through your mind shift of becoming an entrepreneur.
For me, It was kind of built on the backbone of reading some books along the way. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a great book, any sort of financial or investing book, and kind of personal development was some of the backbone to it. But the biggest mindset shift for me was, you know, when my girlfriend and I, wife now, were having very serious conversations while we lived in California about what we wanted to get out of life, and having control of our time was something that we valued highly. So that shift in mindset of being able to control my time and my inputs and outputs was something that we took extremely seriously. And real estate was kind of the path that I knew of how to build those, you know, I'll go back to it, the pillars, those, the cash flow, to be able to control your time and kind of live off of your input that you do up front. You buy the real estate, you do your input, your value add, and then you get the benefits of cash flow each month after that for owning it. And so that was really the shift. And it's a small shift, right? All of us, any of your listeners out there, are eager. They're passionate individuals. They want to excel in life and, you know, have a better day every single day that they wake up. They're just going to naturally do well. And so the shift was pretty small for me, where it was, you know, the mindset shift to say, okay, now we need to go. It's time to control our time. It's time to control our destiny and achieve anything that we want in life.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, you mentioned one book. What are some other books? What maybe a book that you're reading right now or have read recently that you can recommend to us?
A book that I really, really like, and it's kind of unheard of, is Mistakes That Millionaires Make by Harry Clark. Great book. I think I found it. I was walking through the airport one day and I picked it up and read it very quickly. And it just gives you a good perspective on kind of the other side to wealth creation, which can be wealth destruction.
Yep.
And it just tells great stories of a bunch of different people who accumulated mass amounts of wealth, lost it all, and then some built it back up even stronger. So it's a good book to learn lessons about how to protect yourself and your family, and not only build the pillars of wealth, but put up the fence and the moat around it. So it's very difficult to lose that.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed that book a lot. While I was reading, I'm like, it makes you go, holy cow, like this can go away so quickly. These guys have it all. But then when you really listen to their story, what I got out of the book, the main thing, there was several things, but the main thing I took was that most of these people that built it up and had all this wealth, they were spending so much money. They had it all. They had the lifestyle, and they were just spending their money like crazy. And so that way, when a little adversity happened, they couldn't handle it.
And right.
I mean, right. Some of the stories were, you know, maybe a little different, but a lot of them that were the same way. They just had so much money that, you know, they had these big mansions and all this kind of stuff, and they had the lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, if you boil it down as well to like owning a single apartment community, you know, if you don't put money away for a rainy day and weathering storms, you could go through a period of time where your income could be reduced and your expenses are still pretty high. So if you're not efficient in managing your apartment community, you know, that's where people get jammed up, is when they can't make their debt service payment, or they're coming up on a note due date and they don't have the ability to refinance. Being forced to sell in real estate is probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, or when debt comes due. So, you know, just be prepared and always be looking at that and making sure you're well ahead of the game to avoid any scenarios where you're forced to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree. What's a favorite website for you that you really like, or blog site or something like that?
You know, Bigger Pockets is a great resource for that. What I really like to do is listen to podcasts. So I listen to your podcast. There's several others out there. I like Tim Ferriss, Joe Fairless, as well as the Bigger Pockets podcast, just to keep sharp and keep up with what other people have going on. I find that those individuals doing the podcast probably have new tips and tricks that, or new technology that they're using and that they share freely. And, you know, I can listen while I'm driving or running or working out. So I do a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. We're in a pretty, pretty cool time where, you know, just not very many years ago, none of this stuff existed. You know, when I first started in real estate, you had to pay, if you wanted to get like the education, like you can get right now on, you know, all these podcasts and stuff, you had to pay a lot of money. It's just amazing how much information's out there right now.
It is. It's wonderful.
It's great. Yeah. It's amazing. What are your goals moving forward? Where's your business going?
We want to acquire another $12 million in real estate in the next 12 months. And we're going to achieve that through probably 3 to 4 acquisitions, somewhere between the $2 to $5 million purchase price range, specifically in those commercials, 2 to 12 unit, you know, kind of community focused services or consumer needs. Yep. Or through mobile homes or through apartments.
Awesome. Awesome. Last question before we wrap up. What are your 3 pillars of wealth creation?
My 3 pillars of wealth creation, one would be kind of passion mindset. 2 would be knowing the numbers and the financials. So I'll expand on that a little bit. Know your income, know your expenses, know how much cash flow you're going to generate, and know what your goals are within that. So the numbers are critically important so you can achieve your measure of success, but then you can also measure the success of the individual assets that you own and making sure that the income covers the expenses and generates cash flow. And then the third pillar would be gratitude. Having gratitude for some of the simple things in life, having gratitude or graciousness to help others, give back to the community. So those would be my 3.
Yeah, I love it. That gratitude one to me has been just so powerful. Just to, you know, I take time now every day to make sure I, you know, mention things that I'm grateful for and try to obviously change it up. And it's helped me become, I think, a lot more positive outlook, and then a more humble too, to you see what others are struggling with too. So I think that's great. All right. So last thing, how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about what you're doing?
Your listeners can go to investwithdanny.com and get in touch with me through my website.
Investwithdanny.com. All right, perfect. We'll put that in the show notes. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us your business and you know, mindset and kind of what you've learned and where you're going. I think it's going to be exciting in the next few years to see your company and where you guys are at. So
thank you so much, Todd. I really hope it helps your listeners and they can build their own pillars of wealth.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Hey, special thanks to Danny Randazzo for joining us on the show. I appreciate him taking time out of his day to spend with us. So three key things I took from this. What were they? First of all, have that passion mindset, that burning desire. He talks about that, the need to really want to do what you're setting out to do. If you don't want to do that, I think especially with entrepreneurship, it's just not going to happen. People think that it's, being an entrepreneur is everybody's dream and all, it's the best thing. At least a lot of people that I talk to, I love being an entrepreneur. However, it is a lot of freaking work, and a lot of hard work. And it's plenty of days where you're stressed, very stressed. And there's been plenty of times where I know it's way easier to give up and go take a 9-to-5 job and just be able to do that. I mean, just collect that paycheck, because at the end of the day, if you got a 9-to-5, it's simple, it's easy. Work doesn't come with you, especially if you have the right 9-to-5. So being an entrepreneur is not that simple. If you love it, though, it's going to be a lot more easy to do. Those stressful days make it worth it. And so that great advice by him. I'll stop, because these are supposed to be short, quick. next thing is know your financials. Know what your income is versus your expenses. I think that's easy for so many people to forget. A lot of businesses that fail, they fail because they have no clue how much money is truly going out of their business, especially. Sometimes they might know what is coming in. Sometimes they might say, well, I've got a $5 million business or a $20 million business or even a $1 billion business, but they've got no freaking clue how much money is actually flooding out of the business. And that's what pushed them over the top where they can't continue. And then the last thing he talks about is, control your time, control your inputs and your outputs. Making sure you know what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, you're controlling that. So awesome advice from Danny. Great, having him on the show. Appreciate, him being on. And I know I learned a lot, and I'm sure you did as well. So, go under our Facebook page, Pillars of Wealth, connect with us, make comments, let us know what you're thinking. And then also iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all those other platforms. Go on there and subscribe wherever you listen. Subscribe, give us a rating review, give us the like or the thumbs up, and we'd love to have you part of our tribe and continue to listen and grow. And then share it out. Let other people know that you're listening, that you enjoy the content, and help us grow as well. I'm Todd Dachsheimer. That's it. I'm signing off. Make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com forward slash pillars to claim your free course today.